Blog Talk Radio.
Arms.
right, shalom, shalom, shalom. Yisrael. Hallelujah. Saints of the Most High Yah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Saint. How am I coming in your area today? I want to say shalom to you all. Hallelujah. All that are joined here this evening. Hallelujah. So good to be here with you, and it's good for us to be here. Hallelujah. So we give y'all the praise, honor, and the glory. All right. We got 10, 10, 10. Got the faithful number 11, Brother Ugly. Hallelujah. Bless you all, saints. Glory to the King. All right. Let's get started here. Hallelujah. But greetings to all the saints that are scattered abroad, the beloved of Yah, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from Yahweh, our Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Blessings to you all, saints. All praise and all honor belongs to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. For him, we will not be able to do nothing. Hallelujah. And we give him all praise, honor, and glory for it. Hallelujah. Just for allowing us to see another day. Just for preserving us, a people, a remnant. Hallelujah. In this last time, who are striving and seeking after his laws and being obedient servants. We are grateful for it. We are thankful for it. And we could not do it, hallelujah, if it wasn't for him being mindful of us and being a man of his word, hallelujah. And we're grateful for it because we're so undeserving of it, hallelujah. So we give him all the praise, honor, and glory for it. And Yeshua HaMashiach, the sacrifice, he came down in flesh and to atone for the sins of his people, a man who knew no sin. Hallelujah. So, I mean, that faith in itself is a lot to be thankful for. And just for us to be able to see another day, say, you know, as Pastor always tell us, you know, to be thankful and to really be grateful. You know, just the fact that we could breathe, just the fact that we, our eyes were open this morning, and we have strength to move and go about and do things. We have another chance. We have another opportunity to get this thing right. Hallelujah. We should be thankful. Glory to the King. So we give all praise and honor to Yah because it's him and it's him alone. Glory to the King. Also to our beloved shepherd, the Honorable Pastor Charles Dow Jr. Hallelujah. We give all praise and honor to him. Also, just and all the work that he does, you know, and how he shows us his love for the Father, how he feeds us. And there, he's right. There is not another man on the face of this earth that we know of, hallelujah, that is striving as hard as he is. I mean, has given so much and constantly giving, and whose eyes are just set on the kingdom and is doing whatever he can do to try to help us. You know, so that we make it, so that we don't fall, that we don't slip and misfocus and lose our focus and where we're headed. So all praise and honor to the Most High Yah for our beloved pastor and our gift, because he is a gift for us, whether you think so or not. Glory to the King. He sent you here. You're able to hear his voice. And so you should be thankful for it. Hallelujah. Because saints, whether you know it or not, or whether you even consider it, we are fortunate to be able to hear the things that we hear. Not only hear, but we see. You know, we see this thing being restored back unto us as a people. You know, the Most High has really been gracious. He's been really mindful of us. Yes, he has been. And so don't take none of it lightly, thanks to the Most High, Yah. But also want to send a shout out to Pastor Corey. And we're thankful for him as well for all of his labor and all that he does. A young pastor in Israel, you know, growing, you know, by leaps and bounds, man of faith and man of power and anointed, you know, and we just thank Yah for him as well. Hallelujah. Also, just to keep them in your prayers, you know, Sister Jalan and all of the children, Pastor Corey and all of the saints out there in Missouri, give them, be diligent, saints, in sending up your prayers and support, because they need it. You know, it's never an easy thing, thanks to the Most High Yah, when we lose a loved one. It affects us all. It really does. Hallelujah. But we just give praise to the Most High Yah. Thankful and for everything, for the moments and the time that we have with our beloved brother Chris. And just definitely keep that family lifted. And it should be for us, you know, we should always look at things and learn from them. And, if they, you know, we should really, really see the things that Pastor tells us, we don't really get it until, you know, something happens to where we can really identify or, like he was saying, you know, experience. You know, when you experience something, you don't really comprehend, you know, and it doesn't become reality, you know. But we need to take every lesson, every instance, every situation and learn from it. And it should really cause us to really be grateful and to strive even harder and to try to, you know, take and put these teachings, you know, to practice in our lives and not just put them away once Sabbath is over, but revisit them and really try to seek and see what the Father is really saying to us. Make it personal to yourself. Don't look at nobody else around you. It's for you. Hallelujah. So we need to really look at these situations and really learn from them. And more than anything, be thankful. Hallelujah. So Yah is good. So he really truly is. And he will not leave us. And he has not left us comfortless. Glory to the King. So prayer is very powerful. Prayer can change things. And so we need to be diligent in our prayers. Hallelujah. Lifting up our family. Lifting up one another. Glory to the King. But also, just want to give honor where honor is due to all our leaders in Israel, Teacher McKnight, to all of the elders, all of the heads of the assemblies, you know, for all the work, you know, that we do. And, you know, saints, it's an honor and it is a pleasure. It really truly is. Just to even be before you, to even speak to you. Hallelujah. But Yah is good. Thanks. He really is. I also want to send a quick shout out to my family for, you know, all of the support. My lovely wife and how she was just down for me from the beginning once she really saw how serious I was about this walk and how, you know, she came aboard. You know, we all have our struggles here and there, but for the most part, she was there right there with me. Once she saw how I was serious and I didn't play, I wasn't playing. And all the sacrifices she's made, all the sacrifices my daughter has made. And I'm grateful for them and I'm thankful for them for the support. And, you know, every time I do a show, and especially when I did it on a weekly basis, they would all huddle up in one room and try their best to keep quiet. You know, it's difficult with a one-year-old to try to be quiet, but they do the best they can with him. And I'm just grateful for them. And I thank Yah for them. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. And I thank you all, saints, for your support, for your prayers, your kind words. And thank you, Brother Ugly, for co-hosting, as always there faithfully, and I greatly appreciate it. So all our brothers and sisters who are scattered abroad out there in other countries, shalom to you. I know many of you may view this the next day, but blessings to you all as well. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the feedback. And it's good that you all are in fellowship with us. Glory to the King. I know how it could be, you know, being the only family in one city or just, you know, I know how it can be. So these times that we have together, cherish them. And glory to the King. So bless you all, saints. Hallelujah. But I'm your host, Elder Donnie. And on this edition of Blog Talk Radio on the Straightway Truth by way of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. On this brother's edition of the brother's segment, glory to the King. But as always, saints, I'd like to just start off with Psalms. But before that, I'll go to Psalms. Let's see. I'll go to Psalms 34. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just keep it going as usual. Psalms 19. Psalms 19, starting at verse 7. Shout out to Elder Felix. Elder Felix sent me a really nice song with these words, with these particular verses. Real pretty, real beautiful song. Maybe one day I'll get a chance to play it on here, let you hear it. Shout out to our elder. Keep him in your prayers. Hallelujah. Lift him up. for his healing and recovery. Hallelujah. Psalms 19, starting verse 7 says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Hallelujah. So, saints, there's something to be said about the law of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Definitely is pure. It definitely is righteous. It definitely sets us apart from other nations, the other nations of this world. And we need to embrace it. We need to cherish it and love it and do all that we can to obey the obedient servants. Hallelujah. And keep in doing the will of the Most High. Glory to the King. There's not another nation, saints, who have these laws and these righteous rulings. There's not another nation who Yah is close to or who he deals with but you, Israel. So don't take it lightly. Glory to the King. Psalms 1, 1 through 4 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Psalm 34, 7 through 10, it says, the angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. O fear Yahweh, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahweh shall not want anything. Hallelujah. So it's just, I want to come in and just talk to you this evening, saints. Really, I want to encourage you also to really keep focused on the goal. You know, we all are striving to enter into the kingdom, to make it. And you know, saints, it can be trying at times. It's a struggle. And we had a warning that it will be so when we come this way. However, I just want to encourage you to hang in there. You know, trust in Yah, believe in him. You know what I mean, saints? And that he's a man of his word, and he won't let you down. And like I say, he has not left us comfortless. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us into all truth. And it's the very last time. And I don't want none of y'all to be down and out, depressed, and without hope, because it's all around us. We can see it. But we have the victory, saints. You know, we have the victory. I mean, from, you know, a day, I mean, it could be so much goes on in one day to a week to a month. I mean, it's trying at times. It really can really tug and pull at you and exalt you. But, you know, you get a lot of your energy. But we need to remember and realize, you know, where we're headed. This is not our home. This is only temporary. And we're passing through. You know, we're in a foreign land, saints. And so let's keep that in our at the forefront of our minds. Constantly sing to yourselves melodies and hymns and spiritual songs, you know, lifting up the Father. You know, you would be surprised at what that do to others around you. That's how you can tell, you know, the wicked or in rule. People are literally mourning. They really are and sad. But you saints, you keep your joy no matter where you at, you know. You be the light. Hallelujah. And don't allow nothing and no one to steal your joy. Glory to the King. So, yes, we have to encourage ourselves in this last time. We have to. Because wickedness is all around us, saints. All around us. Glory to the King. But I want to just, this evening, like I said, just talk to you briefly. You know, the last time that I was on here, about a month ago, you know, I was talking about, you know, different characteristics of scribes and Pharisees. And it was pretty much centered all around this one verse in Matthew 5 and 20. And it was for us, you know, Israel, the Messiah speaking. And it Matthew 5 and 20 says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so that's what we all are striving, you know, to really make it in. All right, saints. But we have some instructions. We have some guidelines, and we have some things we need to do before entering in. But he wanted us to see that, you know, and look at and take note of, you know, scribes and Pharisees for a reason. And let me read something real quick to you. But just as a really quick recap, you know, last time I talked about, you know, just the characteristics of you know, the Pharisees in particular, because they were pretty much like the in crowd. They were the leading group of Torah teachers during that time, very distinguished men. They were legalists. You know, they were very loyal and devoted to their nation. They were big on ceremony. And, they were big, you know, on external things, if you will. And the Most High, really, he's charging us saints to not follow that same path. I mean, it's one thing to look the part, but we must really, truly be doing what we're supposed to be doing in deed, you know, and in truth, not just speaking things, letting things fly off our tongues and presenting ourselves a certain way before others, but yet we must really, truly live this thing out and be true with ourselves. You know, but when researching this topic, thanks, I've used a few historical references, different books and whatnot. Much of the information, you know, it was real similar. You know, they had a lot to say. The same things they had, you know, they said the same things, but just reworded it in different ways. We don't get too much about their lifestyles, not in depth. However, the little bit of information we do have is pretty much regurgitated and spit out in different ways. However, and many of the facts given about, you know, the Pharisees are those of, you know, a carnal aspect, a carnal viewpoint. Much of it had to do with the attributes that can be seen with the natural eye. For example, we know that they, you know, the Pharisees, they wanted attention. They were big on that and the praise of men. We know that they, you know, they separated themselves from others. We also know that they pride themselves on knowing and in their own mind what they thought was the, you know, keeping of the law. However, the Messiah, he showed us and showed us, he really ripped the cover off of them and showed us how it was, you know, wasn't what it all was cracked up to be. All right, and that's where we come into play at. It was all for us, saints, for us to learn from it. You know, one of the things that I did notice in reading outside sources from the actual Bible is that when you see, you know, different authors, you know, they write on this particular topic of Pharisees, scribes, and you read any type of commentary people have said about them, you know, their position is pretty harsh when you really look at it, and it's very condemning. And while I myself am not condoning nothing, none of the behaviors of the Pharisees and the scribes, because the Messiah straight up called them, "You hypocrites." You know, I'm not condoning that whatsoever at all. But the thing about it is, you know, people don't realize, they think when you read these things and you look at it in hindsight, you think, oh, well, why did they do that? Or they did this, and oh, I wouldn't have did that. Oh, well, how could they? But see, you can't say that. You know, none of us were around during the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. However, you think you would have made a different choice or a different decision had you been the one? So we don't look at things like that. We're looking at it, you know, we're looking at these accounts, you know, from afar, you know, having more insight on them. But we must be careful, you know, saints, in viewing these things, because the thing we miss out on is that if we really search deep and look deep down in to our own lives and peer into our own lives, we see that, you know, a lot of these same shortcomings, you know, we actually suffer, you know, we suffer from some of the same faults and some of the same sins, you know. However, Christ pretty much, he ripped the cover off of these men, whom he commonly referred to as hypocrites, talking about the Pharisees and scribes. And that word hypocrite, a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion, as they have it, a person who acts in contradiction to his own stated beliefs or feelings. Most of the Messiah's dealings or encounters with Pharisees and scribes are recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. However, there are accounts of them in Luke and John as well. But Matthew and Mark are key sources of information on this topic. And our focus today will be on, you know, we're going to be pretty much in the book of Matthew. And I'll go off and venture off. But we see, you know, the Messiah really dealing with them. And especially in chapter 23, very harshly. You know, so what I decided to do, you know what, all of those history books on you know, the scribes and Pharisees, like I said, they're pretty much all saying the same thing. But what we need to realize is this thing, you know, and as pastors, been harping on, and it's the heart, and really focusing on that aspect of it. You know, if you can tell in this ministry, not a lot of attention is put on actual physical things and the way we speak, the way we, if we speak in proper Hebrew, or, you know, if you're wearing your proper fringes the right way and all that. Nah, you know, that stuff ain't. The important thing is this, saints, that we need to be focused on is the inward man of the heart. That's what we need to be focused on, cleaning up the inside, all right? And then the outside will be clean, no doubt about it. But that's what we're going to look at this evening real briefly, and I'm going to start in that in chapter in Matthew and read in some verses in chapter 23. You know, in this here particular chapter, Christ, he informs the multitude as well as his disciples of the deeds, you know, of scribes and Pharisees, of their wicked heart. This is a very harsh rebuke, and you know, as I go ahead and read this, make sure, saints, you're listening, and make sure you know you don't have any of this stuff operating in you. You know, we got to be real with ourselves. We really do. And you know, you remember when Pastor was saying yesterday, you know, it just depends on your level of maturity. You know, how, if, you know, he's dealing with someone else, with another brother or sister perhaps. You know, if you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, get him. It shows your level of maturity. It shows, you know. So you haven't been rebuked. You don't know what it's like. But then once you've been in a little while, and you know, your sins find you out, and you know, you get called out, you get dealt with, and you see, okay, all right, like, you're feeling it too. You know, you want to pray for that particular person. Hey, man, you know, do whatever you can. So it's not about beating up no one. But I tell you what, these things must be so. And this is nothing new to you. None of this stuff is new to you, but it needs to be rehearsed in your ears. It needs to be. We forget a lot of things. And, you know, we kind of forget. We want to, you know, puff ourselves up and be some type of spiritual guru. But we all need to be humbled. We all need to be abased. Hallelujah. And in a nutshell, this is what the Messiah was telling, you know, his disciples as well as the multitude. You know, that stuff doesn't fly over with him. We read many a times throughout Scripture where, you know, nothing gets by the Most High. Nothing gets by him. He knows even the thoughts, even the intent of the thoughts. You know, whether when we're doing a particular service or act, whether we're really doing it truly, doing it, you know, from the goodness of our heart as a servant, or if we're just doing it because we're forced to do it, or if we're doing it because we want others to see us doing it. All of that stuff, he knows. Hallelujah. So we got to really remember that and keep that in mind when we approach him, everyday life. Nothing gets by the Most High now. Nothing at all. Even if we blind and we lie to ourselves, it doesn't faze him. He's not blind. Glory to the King. I'm going to go ahead and read. Here in Matthew, I'm going to go ahead and read from my book some of these scriptures. Looking at a little bit of a small print here. Glory to the King. But just listen up, saints. Just listen to what the Messiah had to say. Hallelujah. And it says in Matthew 23, it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat." Basically saying that, you know, they sit in a position in the seat of authority, in the authority to teach the law. You know, Moses was the lawgiver, and he got the law directly from Most High and presented it to the people and taught the people. And the same is with the scribes and Pharisees, is what Messiah is saying here. "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. But do not you after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." And you know, this is something also that we hear our pastor harping on, you know, expecting more of others than we're able to produce ourselves. And this is what the Messiah was saying about, you know, scribes and Pharisees. You know, they can put all these heavy burdens and all of this weight on others, you know, what they should do and task and whatever the case is. But they themselves are not even able or not even capable and don't do the same things. Their lives don't show these things. And that's the hypocrite. That's why he called them, you know, hypocrites. We got to find ourselves, and especially as a leader in Israel, as an elder in Israel, I got to be very careful that I don't do this, you know, because the cover will be lifted off of my life, and it will be known, it will be seen. I got to be very, very careful that I'm not operating in this aspect. And this was, you know, reading this and going over this account and this particular chapter and just this entire study of Pharisees, it was real personal, you know, because it, you know, he's addressing them, the Pharisees and the scribes, and even the Sadducees. But, you know, it really gets personal, you know. You got to look and see what Messiah was doing. You know, it's not to point the finger at them, but actually, in actuality, look at yourself, man. What are you doing? Are you really operating like this? And you standing before my people and you talking to them, and what are you doing? Are you doing the exact same thing? You don't think I see everything? You know, this is how this type of interaction, this type of studies that was going on. And this is why we need to view things and look at it, because it is very serious. But moving on, but verse 5 says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the upper rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue." So these people, I mean, they really love to be seen. They love the attention. They love the prestige and to, you know, just to be lifted up. "And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But he said, but be not ye called rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. So he calls them in, look, y'all need to base yourselves. Don't be like that. Don't be so heady and so high-minded and so full of yourself. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Don't we have that example before us, my pastor? He's the greatest among us, and he beget servant, teaching us how to be servants. And verse 12 says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So we got to maintain a level of humility, saints, at all times, always. No matter how long you've been in this faith, no matter how much you've learned and how much you've grown, it still requires for us to be humble as servants. Verse 13 says, but woe unto you. Here it is, but to let off on them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And that's an exclamation point there. Emphasis added on that. Hypocrites. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you to devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe. Verse 16 says, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, swear it by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, swear it by the throne of Yah, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, but you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we have been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come unto this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, so you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So he went in. Messiah went in, saying to the Most High Yah. And he pretty much just ripped the cover off for the scribes and the Pharisees, letting it be known. You know what? Letting the disciples and the multitudes, letting them know, this is what's really going on. This is how they really are. You know, you see them one way out, you know, in public, and you see, you know, the way they seek the high seats and the high positions and things. But this is what's really going on. But remember, saints, remember what he said in Matthew 5 and 20. He says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to remember, they knew the law. They were teachers of the law. But saints, that wasn't good enough to just be teachers of the law and know the law. You must do it. And that's what's been going on. That's what pastor's been harping on for us. We need to be doing this law. We need to be obedient. That's something that's going on with us right now, saints. And it's happening big time. You know, it really is it's difficult when, you know, I hear instances of people just going out doing their own thing. You know, when you've been given instructions to do a certain thing, and then you go totally contrary to it. You seek advice. You seek counsel. You know, you seek to want to know. But then when you get your answer, you go directly against it. Basically, what you're saying is, you know what, yeah, I don't want no instructions from the people you put in front of me. I don't need that. I cannot wait. It's too long. You know what? I'm going to do my own thing. Directly, that's what you're saying to Yah. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. I know more than you. I don't want to hear it. But we must be doers, saints. And whatever the judgment is at the time, for those who are in leadership or before you, when you go before them, that is what you are supposed to do. You're supposed to carry that out. But we find that people are not doing that. And, you know, this is what came to upon me, you know, studying this one morning. I got up to continue studying, but it just took me in a different direction. And I'm telling you, man, y'all is not pleased with all this, saints. We are fortunate, like I said earlier, we are very fortunate to hear the stuff that we hear on a weekly basis, on a daily basis at times. But yet we don't, you know, follow through, you know, to none of the instructions. We don't want to hear nothing. We're very deaf. We're very blind. We're self-willed. But yet we justify it in our own eyesight. We want to quickly become offended and quickly, you know, have an offense with the man of Yah. But really and honestly, it's with the Most High. You know, if we look back at history and all that the Father has done to try to preserve his people, to try to preserve you, Israel, he didn't have to do none of this. We see the way our ancients behave. We see it. We can clearly see it. And not jumping on them, but that should cause us to want to live a more holy life, a more righteous life. Nobody wants to deal with holiness. Nobody wants to deal with being set apart. And as Pastor brought out yesterday, we got too much of this Gentile mindset. It's still in us. Too much of it in us, man. And we don't want to receive instructions at all. We want to just go out into the world, go on our own way, and do our own thing. We do not want to submit or adhere. And what you might say, well, what does this got to do with the scribes? You know what? It has a lot to do with the scribes and Pharisees. Because you know what? It's being brought back to you. And like Messiah said, you know, you like to clean the outside of the cup or the platter. But you need to clean the inside. You got too much iniquity going on in the inside. Too much extortion. Too much of uncleanliness in you. Because he told us we better exceed. Our righteousness better exceed their righteousness. So which one of us can even say anything about them until we've surpassed them? Because we're riding dirty. We're riding on the low, thinking nobody sees how we are. But you know what? You see how it's coming to pass? You see how this season has been a record setter, if you will, with all of the people dropping off and all of the sins of people being exposed. And y'all ain't playing with us because you see the type of word that he's bringing forth through the man of Yah? He's expecting performance from all of us. He's expecting us to do, Israel. No more with all that shucking and jiving, man, and playing and pretending. Who we think we're getting by on? You ain't getting by on nobody. You look at all the damn sacrifices that were made, all the people who died, bloodshed, just so that we can be here right now, be preserved. And the message, he tried so many times to send a message through his messengers. And all we did was despise it. And the same thing we're doing today, despising instruction and correction. Because we know more than the men that he put before us. We know more than the man of Yah. We know more than Yah himself. Now that is a shame. And we must abase ourselves, saints. We must, and we have to. Just as he told them, scribes and Pharisees, to abase themselves. And anybody that exalts themselves, they're going to be abased. But if you humble yourself, then you really will be exalted. We're too prideful, saints. And I know we live in the information age. But guess what? That don't have nothing, shit to do with the Most High. You don't know nothing. We know nothing as we ought to. I don't care how much you can read. How much you can look up and research, and that knowledge is at your fingertips, so you think. You better humble yourself. You know nothing. Because you know why? Because we're doing the same things. We're following the same patterns, making the same mistakes. And Pastor's been showing us how there's nothing new under the sun. All of the things that we deal with on a regular basis, all of this stuff can be found in the book. All of these things, there's nothing which is new and uncommon to man. All of these things have preceded us. We're so ignorant to it, though. We don't see it. But it takes a man to show us, to guide us, to bring it out, to show us the wicked way, show us our iniquity. We should be more grateful to the Father for that than what we are. And the way we show that we're grateful, the way we show our gratitude is by our obedience. We're something else as a people. We truly are. You know what I'm saying? So when I got up that morning and I read this and it took me here just to go in a whole different direction, and it was so intense, it really was, because it was like in a state of unbelief that people still just do not obey. They do not listen. They do, you know, it's something else. And I'm speaking about when you specifically get instructions on what to do and you go totally contrary to it. It's one thing to not know and to miss the mark and to fall short ignorantly. But when you have the knowledge or when you have been specifically instructed to do a certain thing, then that's just you. You're totally showing your self-will and how you're going to do whatever you want to do. Showing, manifesting what is really inside of you. You know, we can say all of these flattering words to, you know, to make folk think that, oh, everything is all well and all good. But you know what we need to start doing? We need to really just hold our peace for a little bit before we speak. And really truly be analyzing our lives and evaluating ourselves on a constant basis. I'm not telling you to go into no state of depression or condemning yourself. We need to really just pace ourselves in this walk. We must run this race with patience. We have to. But these are all the things that Messiah was speaking. He was speaking this to his disciples, as I said. And what was written to them was written to us. He was ripping the cover off and showing the ones that are in lead position, the ones that are teaching you the law, look what they're doing. But you better not do that. You better surpass that. That is not acceptable. And Yah is not going to reward that. I'm going to jump around here. I'm going to go over to Romans here. What's going on with that? That's crazy right there. Hallelujah. But I'm going to move forward, saints. Let's see. I'm going to go to Romans 10. No, I wasn't talking about this thing. I was talking about something totally different. Distractions coming through. All right, Romans chapter 10. I'm going to go to Romans 16 here. It says, but Romans 10 and 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Yahweh, who hath believed our report? I'm going to skip down to verse 21. And it says, but to Israel he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All the day long, Messiah has stretched forth his hand unto his people, even from the beginning. They do not want to obey. They do not want to hear nothing. And I'm going to go over where that comes from in the prophet Isaiah. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53:1-12. And it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Talking about the Messiah. And when he shall and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You hear that, saints? For our transgressions he was wounded. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was opposed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before for shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So that's a lot to say about Messiah, and as you can see, it's no small thing what he did for us, Israel. No small thing. You know, through all of that, man, and I went to a whole nother direction at a later time, and it brought me, you know, and you see it said how he did all of this, saints, unto death. You know, are we willing to die out to self, you know, saints, and die out to our own human will in order to really truly embrace this thing, in order to really be obedient servants, as I said earlier, to really show that we appreciate? What are we doing on a daily basis, you know, to mortify the deed of this wicked, wicked flesh here? What are we doing? You know, since we all must take an in-depth look and consider our present state of mind. You hear that? Our state of mind, which is in conjunction with our heart. Why is it that rebellion, presumptuousness, lack of honor, and disrespect exist among us in this time period as much as it does? Of course, we must accept the blessings as well as the curses of our ancients. However, we as a whole have learned nothing from our past. There is something about us, Israel, that we don't appreciate what Yah has done for us. What other nation, saints, has Yah so nigh unto them? And see, that is the problem. We, in fact, have Yah close to us, but we choose to reject him. You know, there's a saying out in the world, you know, you never miss your water until your well runs dry. You know, and we've seen this countless of times throughout our history, you know, where our ancients, you know, they would cry out to Yah, they would, you know, transgress and they would go into captivity and just cry out to Yah, realizing, you know what, we fell short, we messed up, we made a mistake. We have fallen into the hands of the heathen nations. We've fallen into the hands of our enemies. That's when, at that time, our people wanted to cry out. But that's why Yah had to provoke us to jealousy, saints, for the people that were not his people. I noticed that Yah deals harshly with the disobedient and blessed his righteous seed. Just as in the time of Elijah, the apostle, and the apostle Paul, and as well as in our time here on this earth. This is our time, saints of the Most High Yah. There is a remnant that is left, and we are a remnant. Those of us who, you know, are really truly striving or have our minds made up and set, we're doing all that we can possibly do at whatever level that we're at. We'll strive to render in and to be obedient as we possibly can be for us, the remnant. That's why I make a habit always, saints, to pray for the remnant, to pray for the few, and even those that don't even know that they are Israel, but yet the ones that Yah will open their eyes, praying for all of them as well. You know, I can think back years when I started praying this, praying for those who Yah will soon bring into the fold, who we would open their eyes. And then as we look and see, as years pass, you know, all the saints who are coming into the knowledge of the truth of who they are, and who are serious about this, who are really truly serious, it makes me pray even a more so for even those who are still yet out there, still lost, still in darkness, want to come out. There may be some that want to come out and get free, but Yah just hasn't opened their eyes yet. And my prayer is that they come out and they have a smooth transition, and that, you know, they can overcome, because Satan really fights hard during that time. Hallelujah. But like I said, this is our time, Israel. This is for us. And we got to take note of everything that is given to us to make sure that we show our appreciation. We show that we are grateful. Because it wasn't too long, saints, for any of us. You know, this life is short, but it wasn't too long for any of us that we were out, you know, in sin, living in sin, in darkness, just lost. And it'd be a shame for us to come here and to still live that same way that we did out in the world. It would be a shame, because we have no excuse, absolutely no excuse. We're not getting no mediocre teachings from our shepherd. We don't have no weak and hypocritical example before us. We don't. So we're going to be held accountable in a greater measure, because we've been given so much. And that's all I'm doing, saints, is speaking to you and talking to you to just encourage you even more so. To run this race with patience, man, to be diligent in it, and be truthful and honest with yourself. Be upfront with yourself, because, you know, Yah sees it all. Yah sees it all. You know, and whatever it takes, saints, whatever your prayers, whatever you're seeking, you know, Pastor did a very good video, as he mentioned on yesterday, the video about how to get your prayers and why they're not being answered. You all should check that out again and again. Write it down. I mean, all of the steps, and make sure that none of these things are a hindrance to our prayers being answered. Whatever the case is, whatever you're struggling, whatever your shortcoming is, whatever you think it is, trust and believe in Yah. You know, you can overcome it by Him, by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. So we have no excuses, saints, whatsoever at all. And it's directed toward us that our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. So it's one thing to hear all of this stuff. It's one thing to study the law and to learn it and have an eagerness and be very enthused about it and to be excited. But we must maintain that excitement, that enthusiasm, and carry it over to our actual walk and be Israelites, Hebrews and Israelites in truth and in deed. Hallelujah. I'm going to take a quick break, thanks, grab a drink of water, the ministry break, maybe a song or so, and I'll be right back here with you. Elder Donna here on Blog Talk Radio, straight with truth, by way of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. On this edition of the Brothers segment, thank you all and bless you all for joining me. I'll be right back. Glory to the King. Let's get together.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Usable bucket. Natural disaster, civil unrest, economic collapse. Don't depend on grocery stores or government handouts. Pastor Dal urges you to stock up on New Manna food storage. New Manna is swine-free, GMO-free, has no high fructose corn syrup or artificial flavors. New Manna's tasty meals are individually wrapped. Potato cheese casserole, pasta primavera, sweet habanero chili, mac and cheese, and many more, secured in a reusable bucket with a shelf life of 25 years. New Manna's wholesome food storage will help you thrive no matter what. Just add boiling water and you'll have a delicious meal in minutes. Pastor Dal and Straightway Truth offer New Manna food storage at a very reasonable price. Click on the New Manna link at straightwaytruth.com. That's straitwaytruth.com or call 615-688-3025. 615-688-3025. Order New Manna for your food security today.
Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, thanks. Back here. Elder Donnie here, your host this evening. Glory to the King. Just wanted to throw that in there because, you know, just to encourage you all, saints, continue to stock up, store up, and prepare. Because you just never know what the future holds for us here because it's not looking really good abroad, and especially here in this country. So just continue to stock up, be diligent in it, and yes, sir, I just want to put that in there. Glory to the King. But, one more thing. Just wanted to talk to you about, as I was just reading this, it really always hit home, man, I tell you, because we got to really evaluate ourselves often. You know, the Word tells us to do that, to make sure that we're in the faith. But, you know, one thing we need to do is when we're preparing, it's a good thing to be preparing, in the natural sense and all of that. But what are we doing preparing spiritually? Are we really preparing saints to die? And what I mean, you'll see what I mean by that. Not just for no any old cause. You remember what Pastor said on there. You know, I should say this. He was speaking to a group of us as we fellowship yesterday after Shabbat service and after our meal, you know, in the dining hall. And he began to tell us how, as a young man, geared up, man, just pumped up and amped up to be in the military and everything, and did all of these different missions and tasks and all of this training, jumping out of airplanes and helicopters and things. He did all of this for what reason? As a heathen, for this wicked world, doing all of this, and it didn't have no real for what? No real relevance. And he said to us, he said, now if I was willing to put my life on the line for that, how much more do you think I'm willing to put my life on the line for this truth, in which I know is the truth, And he told us that. And he was directing that to all of the men that were sitting at the table and as we huddled around him to hear wisdom and to fellowship with him. And told us, and you all should be willing as well to die for this truth. And that's real, saints, both spiritually and naturally. It was just so great that he mentioned that and brought that back to our, to our attention and to put that in our minds and in our hearts. But I was reading maybe a week or so ago, and I was in Matthew, the book of Matthew again, going back there. And this time I'm being Matthew 26. Another thing we all need to just take heed to this. Don't be so sure, unless you fall. Don't be so careful unless you fall. We got to be mindful of that, Peter, he thought, he had it. The other disciples, they thought, hey, man, I'm with Messiah, I'm with him. But until their lives was on the line, as it says in the book of Job, 2:4, skin for skin. All that the man has, for his skin, and when that fire is placed upon us and we in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the moment, what are we going to do then? Let's look at that real quick. Matthew 26. We'll start at verse 30. And it says here, Matthew 26, start at verse 30. Excuse me. And when they had sang and hymned, they went out into the mount of Olives. Then said Yeshua unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this day, this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33 says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. So he has Peter speaking, right? He's like, nah, that's for everybody else, but it ain't for me. I'll read that again. Verse 33 says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. Yeshua said unto him, basically, there's not going to be no stumbling block, pretty much, is what he's saying. For the end, there's nothing that's going to come in the way of him and Messiah and causing him to fall. But Yeshua said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So he's going to deny him three times before the cock crow. Peter said unto him, though I shall die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So all of them said the same thing. Verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus, Yeshua, with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So this is the Messiah. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So he was asking them, because he knew what was about to take place. He knew the burden that was placed upon him. He knew what he was ordained to do, what he was sent to do. It was heavy, you know. It was very difficult for him at this time. And he asked them, he said, tarry here. Stay here with me and watch with me. Be fervent with me. Pray with me. Stay with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can we not watch, saints? 1 hour. Can we not stay awake? Can we not be fervent? Can we not be diligent for 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he's telling them, watch, pray, that you do not enter into temptation. Because it's present, it's ever present. There's no getting away from it, right? You must be diligent, you must be fervent. In prayer, watching, watching unto prayer. Because the spirit, well, it's willing, no doubt about it. But it's the flesh, saints, that we don't take into consideration. We don't take into consideration how weak this flesh is. Verse 42 says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So if you can't take this away, if there's nothing else we can do, then I have to do it. Then your will is going to be done. And verse 43 says, and he came and found them asleep again. Talking about his, you know, the disciples, a few. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip down in that same chapter 26 to 69. So see, the Messiah, he knew it. But just like any other man, you know, he was just like any of us in the flesh. You know, it's coming upon us. He must die. He's trying to get out of it, but he couldn't. But he had to just face up to it. He wanted his disciples to see. And you know what Pastor said to us, you know, a lot of these trials, a lot of these tests, they come. You know, the Father already know. what we're going to do, but it's for us so that we'll see and that we'll know what we will do, where our heart is, how devoted we really truly are, how much we're willing to give, how much are we willing to die, you know, to die for this. So it's for us. You know, all of this stuff that I'm reading, it's all of this is for us, for our learning. We rehearse in our ears so that we will see and we will know and we really take a good evaluation of ourselves. And as I said, skipping down to verse 69, it says, "Now Peter said without," I'm sorry, "Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid said, saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, of Yeshua, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went away and wept bitterly." Can you imagine how he felt, saint? After he said it out of his own mouth, although all these other men, they might do it, but I would never do that. Although I might die with you, but I'm not going to deny. But he did that, in fact, what he said he wasn't, you know. Saints, the spirit is truly willing, but the flesh, it is weak. So we got to maintain. We got to make sure we always praying, saints. We have to. We got to be a people of prayer. We got to be watching. We must be attentive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But as I said, a lot of these things, they're for, you know, they are for us so that we know what we would do. Let me go one right quick as I close it on out. I'm going to jump around here. I'm going to go to 1 Peter here. 1 Peter 4 and 7, it says, But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Hallelujah. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. As always, be watching, saints. And as I believe the word, and it said it in the prophecies in Revelation, it says that and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So there are going to be some that are going to perish and die and have to give their lives, and it's going to be so. The thing we need to be doing, saints, is and during this time here, making sure that we are doing all that we can do. And we got to start with the little small things, dying out to the little small things, making sure that we, you know, we're truly in this thing. We're not just here just because, you know, it's something to do or we're forced to do it, but that we're really in it. Hallelujah. And Peter was a man. I mean, there wasn't many like him. He was called the elect among the elect, you know, among the disciples. He was called to go with Messiah, to watch and pray. So let us, wherever we at in our walk, in this thing, take it seriously, saints. Definitely take it seriously. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and close it out for the evening. But as I close, I'm going to just read a couple of things I got down here, some thoughts I had. The Pharisees knew the law and could teach it eloquently, but they didn't live it themselves. If they were honest with themselves, they would have seen their own shortcomings and sin. They were full of self-seeking and self-gratification, seeking the places of honor, title, and prestige. There was no humility, nor did they possess the heart of a servant. And so that is the one thing, you know, among other things, that he's continuing to preach to us and to let us know who we really truly are. We differ nothing from a servant. And we are not of our own. We are bought and paid for with a price, saints. But rather, a constant elevation and praise of self. This is the scribes and Pharisees I'm reading about. But Jesus had to be extremely bold and direct with the Pharisees because of how blind they were. This wasn't malicious, as many today would say or consider, but it was necessary because of the danger of their mindset. And the same is true to us today because of the danger of our mindsets, the danger in the blindness of our eyes, and our minds are blinded. We need to be spoken to harshly. We need it. We need it straight and we need it direct. Hallelujah. So the teachings that you hear coming from the pulpit, all of the admonishment, all of the rebuke and correction, embrace it. Love it. Know that you're still a son. Hallelujah. Know that you're still in this faith. So, saints, I want you all to be encouraged. And I want you all as well, you know, and this goes for myself. We all need to be. And as Elder Rufus kept saying it on yesterday, if we say we're going to do it, we need to do it. We need to be men of our word. Women as well. So let us be that holy, set apart, called out people. You know, like never before, like none that went before us. Let us be it in this time frame. As the end is approaching, as we see all the wickedness and all the crazy madness around us, we can see what's happening. We're charged to be sober, and watching, onto prayer. Saints, y'all be encouraged as you go throughout the week. I thank you for being here with me tonight, honoring me and joining me in fellowship. As I just talked to you, some words of truth that were meant for us in this last day, in the last hour here. And continue, saints, to lift up the family in Kansas, Kansas City. Our beloved pastor and the other Rufus and any other saint that made the journey for the safe return back home. And each and every last one of you, as you go through your daily commute, it's to and fro work, remember to pray. And remember to keep Yah first in everything you do, trusting and believing in him. And you be that light in this amongst this wicked and perverse generation. You be that light. Hallelujah. So glory to the King. Thank y'all for all things. I don't think I have any other announcements or anything. However, when I say that, I think I'll go. So bless you all, saints. Hallelujah. The King is coming.
name of Jesus. And ego are destroyed in the name of Jesus.